Welcome to the Property Lovers Podcast. I'm your host, Dominique Grubisher. This podcast series is all about giving you a competitive edge in your property journey. We'll be discussing little known strategies, tools, and information to help you add value and create wealth through property. Now, obviously, we don't know you or your unique position, so this is not financial or investment advice. It is information of a general nature, and you should always seek professional advice as to your situation before you ever invest in anything. But if you want to play a bigger game in property and want to use property as your vehicle to create wealth and, more importantly, freedom, then you're in the right place. Let's do this. Let's get started. Hi, property lovers. In this podcast episode, we're going to talk about rooming houses. Yes, by popular demand, it is back. Everybody loved hearing about Bob's story with his rooming house. So we've got another case study, another rooming house expert from our property lovers community, and that is Lisa, all the way from WA. Lisa had a longer term strategy, which was to build rooming houses for retirement to help people with a housing affordability problem and to have passive income in her retirement. So there, two rooming houses strong, more to come, and passive income of $200,000 plus per year is the goal. Rooming houses are the new gold for property. Where else can you get one property that is effectively a house for all intents and purposes that will give you like five times the rental yield with multiple tenants? It really does de-risk everything for you, solve a massive need in the market, and make you far more strategic rather than tactical, because it brings you cash flow. It truly is the solution for running your property as a business. Let's hear what Lisa had to say about her rooming house journey. So it, I know you did a few property deals. You weren't, it wasn't your first rodeo. You'd done renovations. You'd looked at lots of different deals, but then you were money partner for first five deals, weren't you? Just on the sidelines?
Yeah, we've done, I think, seven or eight money and partnering money. Now. Yeah.
Okay. And this was then a, not just a renovation, but this was a purpose. You went out looking for a rooming house. What brought about that strategy for you?
I think because we had a couple of buy and holds for a long time, and in reality, they were cash flow negative. It wasn't really doing it for us. And I'd heard about the rooming houses or co-living or whatever parameter you want to put around it. And I thought, I want to investigate this strategy because passive income is the way to go forward.
Yeah, fantastic. So how did you find this particular one? It's at Port Kennedy, is that right?
It's in Port Kennedy in Western Australia. And I had been talking to quite a few people that had been doing it over here to get an idea of what was working and what wasn't working. So it was a deliberate strategy to find a property that had enough rooms and enough configuration to do something to work with and so in a location.
This one came, so ticked a few boxes for you, and I'm sure we've all heard of Port Kennedy, but just quickly, high level, mining, fly-in, fly-out workers.
FIFOs, trades, good amenities opposite a park, good parking, those sorts of things. It's not an inner city suburb, but it appeals to a certain demographic.
Okay.
So it's not aimed at professionals, this one.
All right, but you knew that there were workers there and a need for this sort of co-living arrangement.
That's
and
right.
Also, it was on market and you liked it because of the layout and the rooms. Can you just explain that?
Yeah, I was looking at properties that had floor plans advertised so that you sort of had a bit of an idea and you could just flick them off if they weren't suitable in the first instance. This one had a really ripper floor plan, and I thought it was worth investigating, and it was definitely a winner from a conversion point of view.
Okay, so let's have a look at that. We might get some of your slides up and flip through them. So that was the outside, nice and neat. This is when you bought it. This is what it, this was, well, I hope I got it right. I ripped these off.
There's definitely the before.
Yeah, the befores, but like clean, tidy, large, open, big kitchen for co-living. I know hindsight's a great thing, but I, leveraging off your knowledge now, I can look at this and go, oh yeah, that's a no-brainer. That's I guess that's the laundry, but that is definitely a rooming house. And there's your floor plan that sold you on it.
That's right. I could see that I could easily get 6 bedrooms out of this particular property, and that the bedrooms were going to be a reasonable size. And that's been a critical component to get tenants in. They don't like to feel too cramped.
Okay. So with this floor plan here, where did you put your 6 bedroom?
So you can see the games room down on, yeah, we had to fill in the open French doors, and we actually made the doorway closer to the sliding doors so that we could create 2 bathrooms next to and bedroom 4. So the games room actually became a bedroom and 2 bathrooms.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it's huge. It's got 4 bathrooms.
It's got 4 bathrooms. So 3 have en suites and 3 share a bathroom.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. And then you've adjusted the rent accordingly, have you?
So each room's got different rent according to its size and its amenities.
And how did you figure out what the rent should be for each room?
So I actually go through a property manager in Western Australia. There's a company that deals specifically with only these types of properties. I don't have the time to manage myself. So they did a lot of the research on what the available rents like flatmates.com and other platforms like that, did some testing to find out what would be the likely rent that people would accept. And then we had a discussion about that.
Okay, and can you talk us through, well, let's have a look what you did, and then maybe if you're open to it, we can talk some numbers, Lisa.
Sure.
Yep. Okay. So this is you and Shane outside with your first rooming house. Beautiful. Is that the games room?
No, this is the master bedroom, which is almost a suite in itself.
Now, you bought all this furniture?
Yeah, the furniture's, it's a fully furnished property.
Okay. Any tips about the furniture?
Get quality furniture that has some sort of cohesion. A lot of people do just pull off stuff from, you know, a bit of secondhand this, a bit of secondhand that. But I think if you've got something that sort of shines, you're more likely to get a quality tenant.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, they're beautiful rooms, like hotel rooms. And, love the kitchen, love the feel of it. You put floorboards down?
They were already existing. They're not sort of, they're in about 80% condition, but not worthwhile changing them at this point. That will be a renovation down the track.
Okay, and you've got 2 refrigerators there, I see.
You do need fridge space when you've got 6 tenants. Yep.
Yep. Okay. Let's pop over to the flip chart and let's talk numbers. So I know you're quite west, Lisa, so I know you're going to be all over this. Purchase price of this property?
This one was $445,000.
Okay. I saw just like online when I went to get the photos, it's gone up. Like this was 2021, but it's like it was $570,000 was the AVM.
Yeah, we've since refinanced and drawn out $100,000 from it.
Okay, beautiful. So $445,000 you bought it for, and then you did some renos. So we had that we converted a games room into 2 bathrooms and a bedroom, and we got rid of some glass doors.
Yes.
Anything else?
We had some recarpeting, some new blinds, fixing some air conditioning, basically just cosmetic and repainting.
Did you renovate the bathrooms that were there and the kitchen?
No, it was just a tidy up essentially.
Okay, all right. And how much did all that cost you?
So we went through, we were away at the time, so we had someone help us project manage. So the actual renovation was about $45,000.
Great.
Plus we paid a project management fee on top of that.
Okay. And then how much was the project management?
So that was 15%.
Okay. Sorry. You're going to have to help me there.
Yeah. So if I recall correctly, we paid about $20,000 all up for various bits and pieces.
Okay. All right. And then you had to, so then how long did that take end to end?
3.5 weeks.
Really? Okay. So 3.5 weeks and you were open for business. Now the rental agent that you used, there's one that's national. Is it that one?
No, it's not a national company. It's unique to Western Australia. And okay. They've got about 500 rooms now that they manage.
So you just used your networks and you talked to people and that's a community. That's why you have other people that you can...
Your network, on. Absolutely, yeah.
Network's your net worth. So you listed it with the agent. They then, did they give you any feedback?
Yeah, they came and inspected it prior to and gave some suggestions as well as to what would be, good layout and things like that. And then we had it professionally styled, I suppose you could say, and furnished so that it was in and out in 2 days, okay. Essentially.
How much did that cost, the furnishing, approximately?
The furnishings were about $25,000. Okay, and that's everything.
Yep. Plates and knives and forks and everything.
The whole kit and kabang.
Okay. All right. And so what sort of things, if I just project yourself onto us who haven't had experience in this before, what were like aha moments for you where the agent said, oh, you'll need two fridges? And you went, oh, yeah, of course you'll need two fridges. Tell us what we may not have thought of or we may not know, Lisa.
I think having space for everybody and having so all the cupboards and the fridges are all labelled. There's a system in place so that the tenants know this is my space. It belongs to me. This is when I put the rubbish out. This is when I do the cleaning. Those sorts of things. The aha moment was, do we furnish it or not furnish it? And having it completely furnished from top to bottom just means that someone can arrive with their toothbrush and essentially go.
Yep. All right. What about sheets and linen and things like that?
Yeah, so we put in, for styling purposes, we made it look beautiful, but essentially they get a bed mattress protector, and that's changed out every time a tenant changes. It's a minimum 6 month lease. We have had one tenant there for 2 years now, which is terrific. So it runs more or less like a normal tenancy, but it is a separate lease per room, and the tenants sign up for, I know that this is my space, this is the common property space. When I leave, I have to pay for a cleaner, etc. These are the rules of behaviour in the property. And I think you've got to be very, very clear about that because noise, people coming to the property, that sort of activity could really aggravate. And so those people really need to know and understand that those rules are there for a reason.
And the agent handles that for you?
The agent does handle all of that for us. We haven't had, I think we've had one problem tenant and who breached. They were spoken to. They're very, very hands-on property managers. So it's not like it's a three-month inspection. They can be there every other week because you've got the common property. They can enter the property. They can talk to the tenants at any time. So it really works.
It's not like a normal lease where you have to give them, 3 weeks notice that you're going to have an inspection on this date. They can just come whenever.
They can come and they are there very regularly.
Okay. And any learnings that you had from this? You said one problem tenant, but it was just one incident.
Yeah. So they were not very pleasant to some of the tenants, and there were some complaints made about that. So they were talked to about it, and they'd also removed the fire alarm, which was really concerning because your insurance is voided. So they didn't last very long, and we've basically had to go.
So would you say finding the right agent was a big part of all this?
I think having an agent that is experienced in this area is important. I don't have time to manage it myself, and most regular property managers don't understand this particular model. And so someone that does do that and specialise in it has been working for us. It obviously comes with a cost, and that is something that you do need to factor in, that the numbers do actually stack up at the end of the day.
Yeah, okay. And does the agent look at things like compliance and fire alarms and advised you and held your hand with that?
Yes. So because we had the project manager at the beginning, they had done quite a few conversions before, which was one of the reasons that we had gone with them. So they knew the rules inside and out. This was almost like a hand-holding exercise, which is puts us in good stead going forward, because we learned a lot through that process, and I think that was money well spent to get that experience before we moved on and tried and do our own.
Okay, fantastic. So let's talk further back to the numbers. What is the what do you know what market rent is in the area for a house, and how much do you rent each room for here?
So our smallest room receives $195 a week, where they're sharing a bathroom.
Yep.
And
that's three rooms are like that?
No, one's 210.
Okay.
Because it's a slightly bigger room.
Yeah.
So we've got two at 195, one at 210. We've got one at 230, one at 240, and one at 250.
240 and 250.
And they all have their own en suites.
Okay. So these ones have an en suite.
Yes.
And what does that all add up to, Lisa? I'm sure you can do it quicker than me.
I think it's $1,350 off the top of my head, but I don't know.
Okay, thereabouts. And the agent obviously gets a clip of the ticket there too.
Absolutely.
How does a rooming house agent compare to just a normal residential agent in terms of percentages?
I do find it's more expensive. This particular agent charges 15% plus GST.
Okay.
But that's fairly much all inclusive.
So is this cash flow positive for you?
Absolutely. We're receiving about $23,000 cash flow positive. The interest rates, obviously, over the last little while is having a hit. And we also have it cleaned, and the cleaning prices have recently raised as well.
That's inflation for you.
Costs just go up.
Yeah, that's...
So have plenty of buffer.
Maybe it's time to put the rents up. at least you've got that latitude. Would you do it again?
Absolutely, yeah. As long as you're buying at the right price and it's in the right area and the room rates stack up, yeah, there's no reason not to go ahead. I'm looking for another one. We're building one presently, which will be a 6x6. So, yeah, we're not turned off by the model at all.
Okay, so the one that you're currently undertaking, rather than a refurbishment, we've talked about various ways you can do it. One is retrofitting an existing house, as you did here, but you're actually building a purpose-built one now.
That's right, yes. It's under construction. It's 6 bedrooms, 6 bathrooms with a common kitchen and 1 living area. And...
So it's not
it looks like a regular house in a regular street.
Yeah. So it's just it's like this one, but brand new and built as a house, not built as a rooming house, like little separate studio apartments. It's a house.
It looks like a house, but each room will have a dry kitchen and its own ensuite, and two of them will have a little bit of a retreat studio type of look to them.
Sitting area.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it'll be brand new, more attractive to tenants.
Okay, so that's a purpose-built then rooming house. And is that with a project builder, or how did you get that one?
It's essentially through the same project manager that we looked at before, and then we've, between us, we've found a builder that's going to construct it for us. And so I'm very much hands-off because I do work full-time as well. So I'm very keen on putting it in the hands of somebody else, and then I can be looking for other deals in the meantime. I don't have time for the nuts and bolts as such.
Yeah, you highest and best use of your time is coordinating it all and finding the gem and building the goose that laid the golden egg. So Lisa, are you open to talking through some numbers on the current one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so whereabouts is that one?
So this is also in Western Australia. This is in Wellard, a small suburb in the city of Kwinana.
Okay, and is that Perth or somewhere else?
It's south of Perth, and it's in an up-and-coming trade area. There's a new port going in. There's lots of facilities going ahead. So that's why we've selected that particular place.
Okay, so you knew you'd have more transient workers, trades, people wanting rooming accommodation. Mm. And what did you pay for the land for that one?
So the land is $239.
Okay, and then how did you identify the land?
Again, working with the project manager, we about what size property to. We knew that we wanted to build, so we were in discussions about trying to find this block. So there was a suggestion about, you know, what sort of size to look for. And so having sufficient width and depth to put the particular project build on was paramount. And
so
we
you
also
knew
looked
the dimensions of or the footprint of the rooming house you were building, and you just needed a block that would accommodate that?
That would go on to it, yes.
Okay. And did you look for anywhere? You said the first one was sort of opposite a park with plenty of parking. Did those considerations come into play?
I think it's important. We don't have a huge train system or anything like that. We're in these particular areas. So is it close to a bus stop, and is there sufficient parking? Because just about everyone has a car in this area. And so not having a footpath in front that would impede the parking ability, being able to put a double garage and a double driveway on, was an important consideration.
Okay, awesome. So the build, how much will the build cost you in total? Just chunk it up.
Yeah, so it's going to cost about $485 for the build.
And so you've taken the equity and the capital growth in the first property to be able to fund and cash flow your other properties?
That's been part of it, yes. So that sits in the offset. So it helps to offset some of the mortgage for this one while we don't have tenants.
All right. How long will this one take to finish?
We're expecting to have tenants in probably September, October at this time. Yeah, the roof's going on this week. So we'll be putting on walls and things like that and getting to lock up over the next month or so.
Okay, awesome. And the rents, similar per room to the first one?
No, we expect to get quite a bit more. We'll probably aim for about $300, $320 for the smaller rooms, and maybe $350 to $360-ish at this time for the larger rooms.
Okay, so you find that purpose-built, you can ask a bit more?
Yes, that's right. And they're larger bedrooms. They'll have like I said before, a dry kitchenette. So, and their own, each room will have its own fridge as well. So the amenity will be a little bit higher.
Yeah, excellent. And will this one be cash flow positive when it's all done and dusted?
When it's all done and dusted, it will be, yes. We're monitoring the, you know, the rates and things like that at the moment. Our original estimates have, you know, slightly blown out over the time, but all going well. Yeah, we will definitely be cash flow positive. That there's no point in doing it if you're not. We're not in it to lose money. So I think at the moment it will be about 23 to 25 cash flow positive. Okay.
And what's the big, hairy, audacious goal, the longer term plan and your big why? How will you know when you've reached success? What does that look like for you with your strategies?
All right. We have an aim of 10 of these properties over time. Affordable housing is our thing because there's so many people, we know so many people that just can't afford to rent. And so we have people ringing us and saying, have you got a room? And, you know, it's really hard when you don't have, you know, people are desperate for accommodation. And I've been there and done that where I've been desperate for accommodation. So it tugs at the heart. And the only way to do it for us is by making them cash flow positive so that we continue that cycle.
So you'll have roughly $200,000 a year coming in cash flow positive from rooming houses when you get there.
That's right, yeah.
And do you find it fulfilling from what you're saying? It's quite altruistic.
It is, because you take single people that are perhaps having a whole house, which families then cannot rent, and it frees up that space for a family to rent a regular home. So I think the whole cycle of it is really important.
Love it. Love it that you're adding value and it's a win-win for everyone. Mm-hmm. And you're getting to your dream goal of just passive income and a lot of it. So well done, Lisa and Jane. Thank you so much for your time. And thank you for sharing it and for participating and giving so much to this community. We're really grateful.
If you want to know more about rooming houses or to start your rooming house journey, then shoot us an email below or leave a comment and we can help you get started on that journey today. We are coming to your capital city live on our Property Mavericks Summit. That's looking at artificial intelligence, what's working in this market, shaking the snow globe a bit post-COVID to see where the trends are and how we can adapt as property entrepreneurs. There's a lot of game-changing stuff in there. And if you're not using the latest property technology or prop tech, as they call it in the industry, then you're really missing out and you will be left behind. So take a look at what we've got in store for you. Go to the link below and register for our Property Mavericks event coming up in July in your closest capital city. We're going to take great care of you. It's going to be a real live, old-fashioned catch-up where we talk and meet face-to-face, eye-to-eye. We're going to fully cater the event and there's going to be networking drinks afterwards as well. So your network is your net worth and you want to be around other property lovers and mavericks who are disrupting the status quo with strategies that actually work. So go to the link below, check it out, reserve your seat, and I can't wait to meet you in person at our Property Mavericks Summit Live. If you're enjoying this podcast, don't forget to leave us a review and follow us so that you never ever miss an episode. That's it for today, but really looking forward to giving you more tools, more strategies, more support and a competitive advantage when it comes to property in our next episode.